We're going to be in Zechariah chapter 10. Zechariah chapter 10. The easiest way to find that small but powerful book of the Bible is actually start where Matthew starts and go backwards. So you know where the New Testament starts, the book of Matthew. And you've got Malachi before Matthew, and then you've got Zechariah. It's right there, just a few pages before your New Testament. We're going to pick up this morning one verse that was spoken, breathed from the mouth of God, spoken and written down by Zechariah, that has had great meaning to them then, but perhaps even has greater meaning for us this morning. And I want to be able to focus on that with you. We're looking at Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 10. Do you love the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. It says, "Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So shall the Lord make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone, grass in the field. Ask ye of the Lord rain." Would you pray with me right now? Father, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that we can be here to worship you. We thank you for the testimony from our brother here this morning. God, we thank you for your word, and we pray, God, that you would speak to us, Lord, here in this place. Oh God, from your word, we pray that you would move in our midst and pour out of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we'll give you all the praise. We'll give you all the glory and honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. I have a mind toward the altar call here this morning. And I know that we may not be able to all squeeze in the altar and social distance at the same time, but I think most of us probably could. And I would like for us all to respond. Even if we're not coming to the front, I would like for us all to plan to respond to what the Lord has for us this morning and to let him have his way. Amen. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. Ask, so shall the Lord make bright clouds and give showers of rain, and to everyone grass in the field. Now you might wonder, as we read that, if you're not familiar with where we might be going, if you're not familiar with some of the typology in Scripture, some of the symbolism that's used, how something that is very natural in the Old Testament could have, and in this case does have, some spiritual meaning for us. But I think by the time we're done, everybody will understand what this has to do with our Christian life this morning, what this passage has to do with it. We might think, well, I'm not a farmer. It doesn't really matter that much to me whether God sends rain or not. And that was the immediate context. But you will see throughout the Old Testament that there's a lot of reference to the early rain or the former rain and the latter rain. And there's a lot of reference to it that pertains to more than just farming. And it pertains to more than just what meets the eye. And we'll see that it pertained to a lot more than farming in the Old Testament when it was written. It really reflected the blessing of God upon his people. We'll leave that right there for the moment as we build the message here. But the first thing I want to just ask is, what's so important about the rain? Why is God instructing his people to ask for rain? Why is God saying that they're to do this when the time of the latter rain, when that season exists? And why is he saying he would respond and give the rain to them? Now you have to understand, they were very dependent upon the rain. And we don't think about it, but we are also. if it never rained again or did not rain for a long, long, long time in the United States of America or across the world, what kind of an impact would that have? I mean, the impact of that would eventually be devastating, wouldn't it? They were dependent, and of course, you know, if it didn't rain in Kansas, we can get food from Oklahoma, or we can get food from the East Coast or the West Coast, or we can get food from overseas where a lot of our food may come from anyway, or down south, or up north, right? It's a little different world, but if the whole world was affected, it would be very serious. For them, in the nation of Israel, they were dependent on rain right there. Their nation had to have rain. They weren't going to be buying crops, normally speaking, and food and so forth from a faraway land. They weren't necessarily going to be buying anything. They raised their own crops. They raised their own livestock. And so if it didn't rain, they would have little or no harvest. Now, if you start drawing analogies to our lives, it's okay. But I'll draw them later if you don't. But if they didn't have rain, they would have little harvest or no harvest, which means no food for themselves, no food for their livestock, no oil that they would get, you know, as a result of their whole farming process that they would use for cooking and for light and so forth. They would have no water to drink and bathe. They would have no water to sustain their livestock. They would have no meat to eat, no milk to drink, no eggs, right? And no crops, or very little in the way of crops if they didn't have rain. Ultimately, they would die if they didn't have rain because their life was dependent, as life really is still to this day, so we can relate and understand, even though we don't all farm for ourselves, we understand that life is dependent upon the rain, right? In Kansas, if there's no rain, there's no wheat harvest. Amen? If there's no rain, there's no food for the beef cattle that are raised or whatever it may be. And, you know, this would be, it would have an impact, wouldn't it? Now, oftentimes God spoke about sending the rain to them. I'm reading Deuteronomy 11. You don't need to turn there, but perhaps you'd want to listen very carefully. And God said, "It shall come to pass, if you shall diligently hearken unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all of your heart and with all of your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land upon his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full." That verse pretty much sums it up, doesn't it? And God said he would send the rain. They were not just dependent upon the weather conditions. They were not just dependent upon whether the weather cooperated or not. No pun intended. Amen. They weren't dependent upon that. They were looking, or were supposed to be looking, to God. God said, "I will send you the rain. If you obey me, if you love me and serve me, if your heart is for me, I will send you the rain that you need so that you can eat, so that you can have the oil and the wine and the corn, so that your grass will grow for your cattle and you can eat and be full." Hence, there are many verses that speak in the Old Testament about the rain. And many of them speak about the former and the latter rain. You see, when they first planted their crops, they would need the early rains that would come, that would saturate the ground so the seeds would begin to sprout. And it would come and it would water their plants that were just beginning to grow, right? And they needed that rain for that. Later in the season, they needed the latter rains so that the plants that were growing and so forth would be able to produce the fruit that they were grown for, that they wouldn't dry up on the stalk, right? They would produce a harvest. Now, God was going to send the former and the latter rain. Many of you could quote by now the verse that we've been talking a lot about since August, or actually a week before August 1. But I want to go back in that verse and I want to read it to you again. Verse 13 of 2 Chronicles 7. And it says, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Now you understand the context under which God was saying that. If because of the sin of his people, he shut the heavens up that there was no rain, there was a remedy for this. Amen. There was a remedy. It would happen because their hearts weren't right. If they got their hearts right, God would send the rain. You can find lots of other verses where it speaks of the former and the latter rain. And you'll find one of them is in Joel chapter 2. If you're familiar with your Bible, you know that Joel chapter 2 also prophesies of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that God would pour his Holy Spirit upon all flesh. Amen? And you're familiar with that. Anybody familiar with that this morning? Some of you are. And so in the book of Joel, he speaks to them in chapter 2, verse 23, says, be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain. In going on and speaking about this, Joel seems to switch from speaking about the farming of his people under the old covenant to the harvest under the new covenant and God sending his Holy Spirit to indwell believers. Amen. And so the analogy that we will bring this morning is not something I've dreamed up in my mind. It is something that God calls our attention to. And so the blessing under the old covenant, the blessing of the rain was dependent upon the rightness of their hearts. If their hearts were right with God, God would send down the rain and God would give them the former rain and the latter rain. Now many people believe, I happen to be one of them, that the former rain represents the way that God moved in his spirit under the old covenant. And the latter rain represents this last day outpouring of the Holy Spirit that began on the day of Pentecost and continues to today, where God sends his Holy Spirit to dwell in believers, and where God has promised a second experience for the believer, where they can be empowered by the Holy Spirit for Christian service in something that is called the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Amen? And I believe then that this church age is the day of the latter rain. Now, some people believe the former rain was, you know, in the early church and the latter rain is now. No matter, I don't see it that way, but no matter how you slice it, we are living in the time of the last outpouring of the Spirit of God that will occur. Amen? And we're living at the end of that time. We don't have to look very far to understand or look very deep. Even people who are not Christians seem to understand that we're living in the last days. As Christians, we see news unfolding all the time that tells us that time is very short and Jesus is going to call us out of here very soon. Can you say amen? We're living in the end of the time of the latter rain. The latter rain refers to that last day outpouring of the Spirit of God. Now, if we go back to this verse then that we started with in Zechariah and take it for more than just some direction that God gave his people under the old covenant, but understand what God is saying to you and to me right now, we would look at that in a completely different way. He said in that verse again, ask ye of the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. And God said, I will send it. God is saying to us, ask me for the outpouring of my Holy Spirit in your heart and life, and I will respond. Can you say amen? I will send the rain. If we ever needed God to pour out His Holy Spirit, we need Him to do it today. Amen. If we ever needed God to fill us with His presence and His Holy Spirit, we need that today. Now, I think it's important to go back. If you were here Wednesday night, you heard my wife talking about God pouring out His Holy Spirit. And really, you know, she used terms. She spoke about what the Bible speaks about, the fire that God puts in us. She spoke about the breath of the Lord. But she spoke about God pouring out His Spirit. But she felt in her heart that it was important, before she went into that, to address this understanding. The understanding of who is the Holy Spirit. You notice I didn't say what is He. The latter rain is something. The Holy Spirit is someone. The one who pours out the latter rain is someone. Amen? The Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When we talk about God pouring out His Holy Spirit, we are not talking about just a force or an action. We are talking about God pouring out of Himself. We understand, though we can't comprehend it in our finite minds, God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three individual beings, and yet each of them is fully God. They're not part of God, they're fully God. And there is not three gods, there is one God. We understand that because the Bible lays that out when we look at it, and it's laid out there very simply. We can't understand it to grasp it in our human mind. The best thing I've ever seen that might help somebody in our finite minds to wrap our minds around how God can be three persons and yet only one God, the best earthly analogy I've ever heard is not the egg. The egg doesn't fit. You know, the egg is made up of yolk and white and shell. That doesn't fit really to help us even begin to understand. But there are certain laboratory conditions under which water exist in three states all at the same time. It is a vapor, it is a liquid, and it is a solid. It is all water, right? It's not part of water. It's all H2O. It's all water. It exists in three different states, but it's water. And that's probably the best human analogy we have that I'm aware of that would help us to some degree to wrap our minds around the Trinity. But what I want to really help you to do, and my wife, I think, was working to help us to do in the beginning of her message on Wednesday night, for those of you who are here for Bible study, is to help us to understand that the Holy Spirit is a person. He is God. Amen. Fully God, not part of God. What I do notice, and we can't even slice up God, none of the three persons of the Godhead somehow function independently of the other two. It's God, amen, at work. He is God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Yet we do sometimes see God manifesting Himself in one of these three persons in different ways. And so a simple way to slice that up for our minds that want to slice things up might be to say that the Father is the Creator, the Son is the Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit is the Empowerer. Yet you can find verses that tell us that cross over all of that, okay? Because God is simply God. But if it helps you to understand it just a little, and you think of the Father as Creator, the Son as Redeemer, the Holy Spirit as Empowerer, that's a general thing, even though for us it slices it all up. It's a general thing that helps us to understand. Amen. You'll find scriptures that says God our Father, our Redeemer. You'll find scriptures where Jesus uses Himself and the Holy Spirit interchangeably because He functions as one God. They function together, never, ever independent of one another. But I've said all that to say this. When you are asking God to fill you with the Holy Spirit, you're not asking for a feeling. You're not asking for an emotion. You're not asking for power, although power will come with the presence of the Holy Spirit. You're asking for more of God. You're asking for a person. Amen. And you are asking for that person to take possession of your life. Often when the Holy Spirit is at work, or maybe I should say it this way, often when we see action, when we see power, we see the Holy Spirit at work. Amen? Often this is the case, and we see it that way. Now the Holy Spirit wants to fill your life. He is looking for people to take a hold of in this day and hour. He is looking for people to come to Christ and be saved. And He will come, Jesus will come in the person of the Holy Spirit and take up residence in your life. If you are a Christian, He is looking for Christians to baptize with His Holy Spirit, giving us power. He said, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you will be witnesses unto me, giving us power for Christian service. Can you say amen? I'm trying to preach to you this morning that God wants to send the latter rain, and He wants to do it now. And the latter rain is the outpouring of the person of the Holy Spirit deep in your heart and life. Amen? And if the church needs anything today, we need the Holy Spirit in control. We need the Holy Spirit filling our souls. We need the Holy Spirit at work, anointing our work that we're doing because it's His work and not ours. Amen. We need the latter rain. We need God to pour out His Spirit. And when we're turning unto God with all our heart, as 1 Chronicles 7:14 tells us, in prayer and humbling ourselves and repenting, we are preparing ourselves for God to pour out the latter rain. Amen. For God to move in His Spirit. I made myself a little note in my notes when I made these points that I made about the Holy Spirit being the empowerer. You might want to look and say, He's the mover and the shaker. Amen? You ever heard that saying? Those people are the real movers and the shakers. You know, it's like the preacher preaches the vision, but the people taking the vision and going to work are the movers and the shakers. But in reality, we understand the real mover and shaker is the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. He wants to move in your life. Amen. He wants to get a hold of you and me with both of His hands. He wants to bring revival. Oh, if you think about Him being the mover and the shaker, you can think about it in the physical results of what happened when the early church, many of whom had already been baptized in the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 4, were filled anew and afresh with the Holy Ghost. They were facing a time of great difficulty. They were facing a time of the threat of persecution. Amen. They were facing, like we are right now in this nation, a time of great difficulty. And they went to prayer. And they cried out unto God together in unison. They lifted their voices unto God. And they asked God to get a hold of them. They asked God to move. They asked God to grant that signs and wonders would be done. They were determining in their hearts, no matter how great the trouble, they would continue to do the work that God had called them to do. But as they cried out to God, the Bible said that the Holy Ghost came down. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness, but it tells us that the building they were in was shaken. They were physically feeling what the Holy Ghost does. He is a mover and He is a shaker. Amen. He'll shake you out of your complacency in your life and mine. He'll shake you loose from any love for this world, and He'll fill you with love for Jesus Christ, that you'll love the Lord with the depths of your soul and allow nothing to come between your soul and your Savior. He will shake you to your very core in a good way. Can you say amen? He will get a hold of your life with both of His hands. And what the world needs now, brothers and sisters, is a church that has allowed the mover and the shaker, the Holy Spirit of God, to get a hold of them with both of His hands and have His way through their life. Amen. I believe the work that can be done for God in this last closing hour can be greater than what we have all or any of us have seen in our lifetime of what God has done, because there's no telling what God can do with a surrendered you. Amen. He wants to possess our lives. He wants to take a hold of our being and consume us in His presence. Can anybody say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. God said, ask for rain in the time of the latter rain. This is the season for harvest. Amen. And this, therefore, is the season in which God's children as individuals and God's church as a whole needs the latter rain in order that the harvest will be ready and brought in. Time for harvest is short. I know you think, especially if you're young, I looked around, saw one of our young people sitting here, and you think, oh, I've got my whole life ahead of me. Sometimes young people think, I got my whole life ahead of me. When I'm old like Pastor John, then I'll turn my life to God. Right? But you don't know how long we have ahead of us. First of all, no individual knows the day in which their life will draw to an end. And if they know Christ, they will go on to be with Him for eternity. Amen? Second of all, none of us know the exact day and the exact hour that God will call all those who are truly redeemed and washed in the blood up out of this world to be with Him. It could happen right now while we're sitting here in church. Can you say amen? We don't know the exact time. It is a fallacy, and it is a dangerous position to say that, well, I'm young and so someday I'll let Jesus get a hold of me. Now is the time. Now is the accepted hour. And worst case, or let's say best case, Jesus doesn't come as soon as we think He's going to. Your life goes on until you're 90. Right? But you don't turn to God until you're 85. If you do, you've wasted 85 years. Amen. 80%+ of your life is wasted. Because friend, brother and sister, only what we do for Christ is going to last. Amen. I'm so glad that God saved me at 19. I was, you know, like everybody else who's got saved, when they come to the Lord, they say, man, I wish I had done this younger. I said, man, I wish I got saved when I was 12. I wish I got saved when I was 5. Look at all the heartache I would have missed. And then you could look and say, look at all that I could have done. Look at the wasted years. Right? But at least thank God, if the Lord tarried, and He has, I know that I had at least 40 years ahead. August 21st, what is that? Next week, August 21st will be my birthday. I will be 40 years old on August 21st. I know you're looking at me, you say, you look older than that, Pastor. I didn't say my body will be that old, but my life will be 40 years old. My new life in Christ will be 40 years old, August 21st. I am so glad that I didn't live 40 more years of pain and suffering. Probably wouldn't even be alive today, really, quite honestly. But I'm so glad I didn't live 40 more years of sin, amen, and debauchery, and just living my own life. I'm so glad that at the age of 19, almost 20, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, committing my life to Him. I have never once regretted it, and you will not either. Can you say amen? And very shortly down the road, once I became a Christian, I began to hear and see in the Bible that God had an experience for me called the baptism in the Holy Ghost. And I saw that I needed something more in my Christian experience. And I began to pray and ask God to fill me with the Holy Ghost. And some 6 or 7 weeks after I got saved, God baptized me in His Holy Spirit. Does that mean I arrived that day? No, but I was further on the journey than I'd been before that day, and it opened up a whole new world of all of that God has for my life, and it will open up a whole new world of what God has for your life. And if you continue daily on this journey, letting God have His way in your life, you will say, thank God I got saved, and thank God He led me into the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Thank God. And Lord, give me more of that latter rain. Lord, I want more of Your fullness, more of Your blessing, more of Your touch, more of the victory that Christ died for me to have, more of Your presence to reach the lost around me for You. I want more of You. Can you say amen? This, brothers and sisters, right now, 2020, August of 2020, this is the time of the latter rain. And just as they would die without the latter rain, spiritually we will die without an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Just as they could not reap the harvest without the latter rain, we cannot reap the souls that God has called us to reap without this last day outpouring and infilling of the Holy Spirit. You say, I was baptized in the Holy Ghost. I would say I was baptized in the Holy Ghost in the fall of 1980. That, like my brother was saying so well, that didn't mean that now I've got everything God has for me. Oh no, not at all. And do I need a new infilling of the Holy Spirit? And do I need to be more consumed with the Spirit of God than I have ever been before? Absolutely. Amen. Unequivocally. Yes, yes, yes. Amen. Because that wasn't an arrival. It was an open door. But today we need to be filled with God's Spirit anew and afresh. We need to be consumed by the presence of God. We need Him to have His way in our lives. And if we ever needed the Lord to have His way with us, we sure do need Him now. The instructions here are very simple, and I want to tell you this. I want to tell you there's victory in the latter rain. Amen. There's deliverance being set free in the latter rain. There is healing to flow into people's lives physically, spiritually, emotionally in the latter rain. There is salvation for the lost in the latter rain. There is a baptism in the Holy Spirit in the latter rain. There is an anointing to preach the Word of God that comes in this last day outpouring and infilling with the Spirit of God. In fact, everything we need that is of eternal value is found in the latter rain. If we're going to successfully harvest those that God wants us to harvest, it's going to be because we have the latter rain. Only God can send this. And all we have to do is ask. Amen. If we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we are striving to live in obedience to Him, our heart is right. Can you say amen? If there's sin in the way in our lives, and you're striving to live for Him, you're going to confess it, turn from it, and turn unto Christ. If their heart was right, they would receive the latter rain. And if our heart is right, reaching for God in faith, you as an individual and we as a local assembly and the body of Christ will receive of the latter rain of the Holy Spirit to fill our lives. The condition here was to ask. Don't ask your brother, your mother, your sister, or your uncle. Ask the Lord. Can you say amen? In the time, the season of the latter rain, that's now, and the Lord shall do it. He will bring bright clouds. Amen. He will give showers of rain, and to everyone, grass in the field. Ask of the Lord, and the Lord shall. Can you say amen? Ask of the Lord, and the Lord shall. As Sister Karen comes and any other musicians that are coming with her, I'm going to give you one last verse here. You can look it up later, but it's Isaiah 44 and verse 3. God says, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your seed and my blessing upon your offspring. You say, I don't really know what this water is. I don't understand. It is the Holy Spirit filling your life. Can you say, man, it is the third person of the Trinity consuming you. We want to see the things that God wants to do in this age. Then we need God to fill us. Would you stand with me to your feet? Stretch your hands toward heaven. Oh God, you said you'd pour water upon him that's thirsty. Lord, I don't know really altogether what it's going to mean for you to consume me like I've never been consumed before and fill me with your Holy Spirit like I've never been filled before. But I know that I'm thirsty for you, and I know that I want you to have your way in my life, and I know that I need you more than the air that I breathe or the water that I drink or the food that I eat. I know that I need to be full of you, God, and my life needs to be yours entirely. Oh God, I ask you to have your way with me. If the Lord has been challenging you, maybe you don't even fully understand it, but you know that you want more of God, whether you're looking for the baptism in the Holy Spirit, or you're looking just for a new infilling of the Lord, or you're just looking and saying, God, I just want you to pour that rain upon me, whatever that means. Lord, I want more of you. If you will slip out of your seat, if you can, and come down here and begin to lift your hands and worship the Lord. Reach out for more of God. He's sending the rain. It is the time of the latter rain. I want to tell you, in prayer meeting the other night, as you were worshiping and the sister is singing, would you come with the hunger of your heart, with the thirst of your heart? In prayer meeting the other night, we were singing a different song, Let It Rain. And I want to tell you, the Holy Ghost was stirring me. That's when he gave me this message. That's when I knew he wanted me to preach this morning. It was on Tuesday night in prayer meeting as we were singing and asking the Lord, send down the rain, send down the rain. God wants to pour that rain of himself in your soul. Oh, let him know that you hunger for him. You are not looking for religion. You're not looking for some form. You are looking for a person, the Holy Spirit of God, to fill your life. You are looking for him to get a hold of every fiber